Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
All right, in case you're wondering, we originally had David Peralta scheduled for 1 o'clock. That got pushed back to 1:15. So, normal time for Social Studies.
Sounds good.
Hey. How are we doing, guys?
Hello, Sarah.
And we know that Sarah is always willing to do Social Studies, whatever time we throw it at her. So,
that's right. I mean, I don't like being upstaged by David Peralta, but I guess, you know.
He's very popular.
I'll deal with it. I'll handle it. One day I'll get you, David Peralta. All right, welcome on into Social Studies, everybody. We do it every day, usually at 1 o'clock. And at Bickley underscore Murata is the account you need to follow on Twitter to follow along, play along, participate in Social Studies every day. The first question, you know, it's really all we were talking about. After 5 o'clock last night, Devin Booker, not named an All-Star, though we are still keeping an eye on the Anthony Davis injury situation to see if he can possibly slide in that way. But we are asking, what one word would you use to describe his All-Star snub?
Predictable.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be more extreme and reactionary than that, but I kind of agree with Bick. Predictable.
Is it predictable predictable because you knew that all the guys ahead of him deserved it more, or predictable because Phoenix sports market, we get snubbed, this is what happens?
Or predictable because if they were going to choose one, it was going to be Paul.
That's the one I believe.
We laid it out what we thought would happen, and that's what I laid out there. Chris Paul deserves it. Devin Booker, I mean, deserves has got nothing to do with it. That's the phrase, right?
Yeah, that is the phrase.
And life isn't fair and all those other sayings. I wish I was more outraged. I think he'll get there anyway, but we shall see. Yeah.
No, that's okay. We don't need the outrage if it's not real.
Come on, Vinny. Canned outrage. Bring it.
I can't believe Devin Booker got shafted again.
Oh, is it 2 o'clock already?
What are we doing here? When are we going to get some damn respect in this market?
There you go.
Yes.
Is it going viral yet?
Yeah, you're almost there.
Is that how this works?
The likes are coming.
Dan has to yell back at you, though, for it to go viral.
I don't know, Vinny. What's the matter with these people? How are you doing today, Vic? Vinny, what's going on?
Oh, that's good. It's funny because
I was not doing an impersonation of anybody.
No, I know.
General, over the top.
Yeah, talk show.
Sports show outrage.
Yeah. It is funny, though, because on the Burns and Gambo show a few weeks ago, we were talking about this. I think it was after maybe the first returns for fan voting came back and Chris Paul and Devin Booker were pretty low as far as fan voting goes. And we did a poll that was, like, do you care if Devin Booker makes it to the All-Star game? And one of the options was, no, I don't really care. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter to me. And there was a discussion on the show about, I think it was Gambon. I'm not calling him out, but he was like, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's a week of rest, you know, whatever. But then yesterday it was like, how did he get left out?
What were some of the more outrageous terms used on this?
Travis Shamokery.
That's a good one.
From J.D. Hall. Will Andrews says typical. Yeah. Mike Donnelly says predictable. We have atrocious from Jordan Karchner. We have fair from Aw Shiznit. I love that. Motivation says Axel Foley. Ridiculous says Big Panda. Whack says Raz Josh. Blasphemous from Chris Ketch. And expected from Cage Side.
There you go.
Says Book is amazing, but the West is loaded with great guards. Who are you going to take off? Maybe if the Suns make some noise this postseason and get some attention, he will start to get the love he deserves.
Yeah. He brought up a great point, too. What if James Harden was still with the West?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, how much more deeper it would be. I have to read this from The Tall Dwarf. The Tall Dwarf says, the German have many great words. And please forgive my German. I don't speak the language. Kudelmudel means it's pure chaos. And the rest of the West, he says, all have Backpfeifengesicht, a face that needs to be punched.
Yes, that's the German term for the punchable face.
Backpfeifengesicht?
That's pretty good, Sarah.
Is it?
It is. Yeah. I only know one German word. It's constipated in German.
Of course you know that word. it's of course you do.
Far from pooping.
Oh, come on. I hate that joke, but also it's kind of funny.
Garrett Garland, everybody.
Yeah. Save it for Fridays at 1:30. Uh-huh. Okay. Moving on to our next question. Dan, you were talking about this earlier, the coverage of Tiger Woods' car accident yesterday, and how some, both in the media and just sports fans, immediately jumped to conclusions about what could have potentially caused or led to this accident. We are asking, open-ended, who do you think is the most scrutinized, fairly or unfairly, athlete of all time? We asked this a couple months ago, but it was Valley only. This is now in all of sports.
Yeah. I think on an individual sport basis, it's Tiger Woods. I think the only one, and I can't speak to the worldwide scrutiny of international soccer players. I don't follow that world as closely.
Fair enough.
But in this country, from a team sports side, it's LeBron James. Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron James, they created a position at ESPN to be a LeBron James beat writer.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that really is. LeBron Wire as well.
Yeah. There's also Alonzo Wire, so I think he's right up at the top of the list, too. those are my answers, Bick. What do you got?
I think that's good. I think LeBron James is definitely one. I think Tiger Woods, it's been nonstop. I think those are great answers.
Mm-hmm. Quite a few people said Muhammad Ali.
There's another one.
Jay Moore mentioned that.
Yep.
Ryan Nelly says LeBron James, Barry Bonds, and Colin Kaepernick. All very scrutinized. Pete Rose says Brian Prescott. Brandon Giddens says Tiger Woods, kind of like we just referred to. Nobody will really say it, but the first thing that came to everyone's mind was wonder what he was on after his crash. We shouldn't stigmatize those people. OJ Simpson says Zach Jones.
OJ Simpson tweeted us and he's voting for Zach Jones.
I don't know who Zach Jones play for.
I mean, if OJ says it, though, that's scrutiny.
OJ Simpson, says the tweeter,
right.
Zach Jones.
There you go. Oh, gotcha.
Right,
you didn't
Fred.
Hear my punctuation?
We're just
I did.
Poking at you. Comma, calm down, exclamation point.
Jackie Robinson says Casey Masterman.
That's the winner. That's the winner right there.
I think Jackie shut up a few times.
That's a very good one.
Yeah. And our final question. one of the trending topics on Twitter this morning was a sheep found in an Australian forest that had not been shorn for so long that the sheep was carrying about 78 pounds of wool. So Dan sent one of the best tweets of 2021.
Thank you, sir.
Calling the sheep Jarrett's spirit animal.
Uh-huh.
I found Jarrett Carlin's spirit animal. Get a haircut, Jarrett, you freak.
Jarrett, you didn't find that amusing, did you?
Well,
I did find it.
Okay. Enough that he turned it into a social studies question.
Okay.
Yes.
That is true.
He then, he quote tweeted that tweet and said, what are Bickley and Murata's spirit animals? So what do you guys think? What are your spirit animals?
I know, without looking at all the results, I know I got a lot of Eeyores. I know it.
Yeah. I saw one. You did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Eeyores or of the like. Do you agree with that?
More than one person said koala for you.
Yeah, a lot of koala responses for you.
Oh, I mean, how many times have I talked about on the air about my love of eating eucalyptus leaves?
That's right. You're adorable. You're clingy. You like to sleep.
One of three, yes. I can't argue with the Eeyore thing. I'm a pessimist by nature. Jared, hit the breaking news sounder. I'm breaking news over here.
Okay, Dan,
grumpy? Was he really a pessimist? I don't remember.
Saw the worst possible outcome in everything.
A downer. Yeah. A sad guy, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. What's my spirit animal?
Yeah, and also, what do you think Vince's is? Because everyone sees different things in people.
I don't know. I mean, I'll go with the Eeyore. That's okay. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'll wear it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What would mine be?
That's a good question.
And part of the joke about the spirit animal, and those know me understand that's part of the joke, is who am I to make fun of anybody's hair?
Somebody pointed that out with that awesome picture of your tennis playing days.
Oh, yeah.
Devils fan said, not sure you should be so judgmental.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's true.
Several people compared you to wild stallions with flowing manes.
Yes. Well, I'll take that.
Some gorgeous photos in the replies.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Or an alpaca with a mullet. Somebody else said.
Or one person said howler monkey for you, Dan.
That's not bad.
And hermit crab for you, Vince. That's from Tommy.
Yeah, again, people are picking up on the brand I'm putting out there.
Yeah, exactly. It's Dan. You also got armadillo.
Oh man,
why? A hyena for you, Murata, but specifically because you have a signature laugh.
Goodness, I went back and I listened to some old radio archives that I had from a previous show where I was accused of laughing too much. I was cringing at how much I giggled. Oh, it was awful to listen
really?
To.
Really?
Yes. I mean, the stuff
was
funny.
All those people who ripped you were right?
Yeah, I apologize to those people. And that picture reminds me of the old Gaga gray sheep, have you any wool? Yeah, take a look at me. 78 pounds worth of it.
Right. That's right.
You guys remember that old tale?
Mm-hmm. They named that sheep, by the way. They named that sheep Ba-Rock. Like Barack, but Ba-Rock.
Yes.
See, a lot of info on
this. Catch that, Jarrett. Mark that for
catch
montage,
it. He had that
man.
Written down for Friday. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, guys.
Social studies every day at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, we had to make another shift. David Peralta take an extra hitting practice out at Salt River Field. 1:30 for David Peralta.
Okay.
Next, we'll be joined by our Suns insider, Kellen Olson. That's straight ahead. It's Pickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station, Bicklin and Murata.
Now, reaction to the All-Star snub of Devin Booker, the All-Star selection of Chris Paul, the NBA just released its second half schedule. Lots of stuff to talk about with our next guest from ArizonaSports.com. Kellen Olson joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Kellen, thanks for the time. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
I gauged a lot of what you saw or what you put out on Twitter after the selections came out yesterday. But for people that didn't see it, what was your reaction to the Devin Booker snub, if you even use that term?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I vocalized it enough on Twitter. I didn't have a humongous problem with it. I just found it just honestly funny that the guy that ultimately took his spot when you boil down the selections and everything was Zion Williamson, a guy who's bad on defense on a bad team. And when you look at their offensive profiles next to each other, they have had really similar seasons statistically, but also if you want to make the case for, I think the biggest case against Book was that it took about 10 or 15 games for him to get going.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Zion, that was the same thing for him. He had an okay 10 to 15 games, and then he's been on fire the past month, but so is Devin Booker. So I think that Book unfortunately put himself in a position with the low amount of games that are being played right now, and then only about 30 games, and he played 25, to have half of those be when he was kind of acclimating himself in the first half of the season. But with that being said, it was a pretty weak field to pick from, and the fact that he got snubbed for a guy like Zion, who's on a bad team, he's been a defensive liability all year, is humorous, but not something to really flip tables over, in my opinion.
Yeah,
No, I'm kind of aligned with you as well. Tell me about the LeBron tweet, because using the word most disrespected player in the league with 3 exclamation points, what exactly was LeBron saying?
I think that there's a certain amount of being an all-star and being able to call yourself down the line in your career a 7-time, 8-time, 9-time all-star. I really think that those things matter, and that having that sort of stature, I guess, matters in being an all-star. And I think that there is something to be said about what it means to be a star in the league. And I think, like, they're called all-stars, of course, but I think the matter of going there and then representing your team and representing the league in this showcase of sorts with all the biggest stars. And so when you feel like one of the biggest stars in the league is Devin Booker, which he is, and he's not there, that's a bit disrespectful towards him. And of course, to go back to the Zion thing, I think that when he was just told time after time, and it seemed like the case was that he needed to win more, he's won more. His numbers are just about the same as they've been the past couple of years. The assists are a bit down, but everything else has been great. His efficiency is amazing right now. It was confusing, and again, I found it interesting that LeBron followed up by saying Damian Lillard was the most disrespected guy, because you guys remember when Dame couldn't make the All-Star team for like 5 years, for yeah. about 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. there? It feels like Devin Booker has been passed the torch of that West guard who just isn't quite good enough and is always the next guy out who gets snubbed, and I feel like that's Book's position now. But I honestly, once he made it last year, I thought he wasn't going to miss the team for quite a while. So it is surprising.
Yeah. Khaled Olson from ArizonaSports.com, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. We have these discussions every year about fill in the blank, whoever the player is that is the perceived snub. Bigger question, do you think this ever leads to a change in the voting process to determine all-stars, or do you think the league secretly loves all the reaction that this gets?
Oh, they love the reaction for sure, and I think that there's, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, there's a little bit more calculation to it than I think we're led to believe. There's a reason that we don't see the coaches voting. I'll just put it at that. We get released, the media, how they voted. We get released how the fans voted and how the players voted in terms of where guys stack up, how many votes shy they were, and things like that. We don't see it for this one, and I think that there's, I don't want to say it's a controlled thing, but I think it's one of those things where certain guys make it for certain reasons. And when Devin said last year after he got snubbed, he went on this, he kind of almost like a borderline rant and just kind of saying that there's politics involved and things like that. Oh, and then he had the great quote where he said, well, it pays good, so I should shut up about it, I guess. That kind of thing is really interesting to me, and you look at why Devin didn't make it 2 years in a row now. You just kind of look around and wonder, like, what else is really going on? I'm really opening up conspiracy theories.
You really are. I mean, you got the right market for it. You know your audience, bro. I'll tell you that much.
But I don't really mean to go that deep, but I think that there is a controlled element of the process that the league likes, if that makes sense. And it sounds like I'm saying that every single All-Star is a conspiracy from that on, and I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that the current format works for something that they want, I think.
Do you, all right, so along those lines, I'll bite. Do you think that along those lines, somebody in the league said, no, Zion is a must add to this game?
I think that Zion has obvious appeal in a way where he is like the league's next star. And I think that if it ultimately comes down to a coin flip of who you want to pick, I also think that looking at it from a more objective standpoint and just kind of comparing the cases, Zion making it for the first time and what will be the first of many for him, and him getting it and not quite being snubbed is something that's more appropriate, I guess. I truly, by the way, like, don't really believe this conspiracy theory stuff, but when you're asking me about, like, the way the format is structured,
right,
it is intentionally structured in a certain way, and I truly do believe that, at least.
Khaled Olson, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. Yesterday, the Damian Jones news broke. They waived him before his contract kicked into full guaranteed status, but it opens up a roster spot. What are your thoughts on how they might attack filling that spot, Kellen?
Yeah, we're seeing it across the league, right? The Nets and the Lakers both made moves recently. It's really about that guarantee, Dave. His contract was going to guarantee tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So they get off that deal right now, and a deal that wasn't really necessary for them with how well Frank Kaminsky has played. You'll remember when Dario was hurt to start the year, that's where Damian Jones stepped in as the backup center. He didn't really play that well, and we haven't really seen much of him since they got Kaminsky in. So just it wasn't really a necessary piece for them to have. Now that they are fully healthy, they've got Dario, Frank, DeAndre, and then Jalen will be coming back in a couple of weeks once he's done on the G League. So that was a perfectly okay thing to like kind of take back and say, like, yes, we won't have our fourth string center for a while. We'll have this open roster spot. The buyout market will start to get going in a couple of weeks. The trade deadline is in late March. That's typically when those guys start to become available, and in a crazy turn of events, the Phoenix Suns are quite the candidate for buyout players to play with. Who would have thought? A 20-10 team, playing for Monty Williams, playing with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I mean, that's going to be appealing for a lot of guys looking to make the jump to a playoff team or a contender. And one of them is the Phoenix Suns. How great.
All right, last question for me. I don't know if you've had a chance to drill down and check out the second half of the schedule. If so, did anything jump out at you?
The back half of April, we were waiting for sort of some key games. I saw Burnley tweeted out that like they have some games coming up against the Clippers and the Lakers and the Jazz. I don't have it in front of me, but they take, I believe, a four-game road trip or a five-game road trip out east, and it's the same east lineup that they hosted earlier, which I believe includes Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Brooklyn. And then I believe
and Boston and New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Boston and New York. And then so like that Knicks game, I believe, is the end of the road trip. So like a playoff team, not a great team, but then you get a break with them, I guess. But then you come back home and I believe it's the Clippers in Utah.
Yeah.
It's a brutal stretch.
Yeah.
And I believe Jared Borgay tweeted out that 12 of 16 end on the road. So it's really good that they got off to this great start. And that was the weird dynamic with the halves of the schedule being released. We had a feeling that the first half was a little bit easier for the Suns, and the second half does look rather daunting for that stretch for sure.
Yeah, they've got the two Utah Clippers consecutive game stretches. April 7th at home against Utah, then April 8th back-to-back at the Clippers.
So that's back-to-back, right?
And then on April 28th against the Clippers and a day off before they take on Utah. That's wow. I mean, there's some brutal stretches it looks like on this schedule.
Wow, yeah,
Kellen.
April is a hole then, geez.
Yeah, rack up these wins now. Kellen, thanks so much for the time. We always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kellen Olson. He, Kevin Zimmerman, the whole staff do a great job covering the Suns over at ArizonaSports.com. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline Coulter Infinity Luxury Cars Legendary Service. Visit CoulterInfinity.com. Coming up next, D-backs All Access Week continues with David Peralta joining the show. That's Bickley, next on Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Diamondbacks All Access Week with Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yep, it is D-backs All Access Week, and it continues as we welcome outfielder David Peralta to the show. He checks in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. David, thanks so much for the time. How are you today?
Good. How you doing, guys? Thank you for having me.
Doing well. How good does it feel to be back?
Oh, feels great, man. Feels great. It's always cool this time of the year. Especially from what happened last year with all the situation, the COVID and all this kind of stuff. So it feels really good to be back with the boys and do what you love to do.
All right, David, I know that you are looking forward to having a better year this year. I'm sure a lot of teammates of yours are. Tell us about that.
Yeah, of course. You know, you always we have a like tough year last year. And you're always looking to improve yourself and as a team, too. So from the first day that we got here, like you can see, like everyone is in shape, like been working hard to get better and all this kind of stuff. So the environment, the energy that you can feel, it's pretty good. It's positive energy, which is, that's what you're looking for. And we just keep doing it. You know, we're just gonna turn the page and just, you know, stay focused on what we want to do and just go for it.
David Peralta of the D-backs, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. When you're in baseball, there's pressure that comes along with it every single year, pressure to perform on a day-to-day basis, pressure to win games. I found it interesting, David, that Torrey Lovello said yesterday on our radio station that he felt he put too much pressure on you guys at the beginning of the year. That being said, did the pressure feel different last year because it was a shortened season? Did you feel like players individually were putting too much pressure on themselves?
Well, the thing is, I mean, you can call it pressure, but I was like, everyone was weird. It was just a weird situation, and I don't think everyone was didn't know how to handle the situation, including myself. You know, like, you came and first day of spin training and just projecting, like, okay, we're going to play a normal full season, and then this whole thing happened, and then we're just going to play 60 game. You want to put numbers and everything, so everything comes together too hard, and it was hard to handle that situation. So, but the good thing is, between all this bad thing happened, so you learn from those mistakes, so now you're ready for anything. You know, hopefully we're going to play a full season, and we're going to be better. So, but that was really tough last year. I always have to say that because nobody was ready for that situation, for sure.
Tell me, you know this, the Dodgers have the World Series trophy, and the Padres have made a lot of noise this offseason. How are you guys going to hang with those two teams?
Well, the best thing we can do is not pay attention to those noise. You know, we just have to concentrate on what we got right now. We have a great team, too, and we just have to go out there and compete and execute. So we just have to come up with a good plan against the pitchers and everything. The pitchers have to come with a great plan to execute everything. And if we put that together, we're going to be a really good team. So we don't care what's the noise happening outside. We just concentrate what we got right now, and we're just going to take care of ourselves and do our thing out there.
We talked to Christian Walker yesterday, David, and he said it was a little difficult in his off-season preparations to find a place that he trusted that you know, he could do his normal off-season stuff. How different was the off-season for you with all the COVID situation going on?
It's always a challenge. I mean, it was a big challenge for everyone, including myself. So I went back to Florida. That's where I live in the off-season. So I got my place over there and my guy who always helped me to get ready, like physical and all this kind of stuff. And then I came to Arizona to finish myself, preparing about hitting and all this kind of stuff. That was a little challenge, but you know, you always have to find a way to do it. I mean, it wasn't easy like the way it used to be in the past, but like I said, we're in 2021, and with all the situations happen, you just have to make an adjustment and figure out the way to get better and be ready for spin training.
All right, tell us some other teammates who have looked really good to you so far, because we've been told and we've been hearing there's a lot of confidence in that clubhouse, David.
Oh, I would say everyone, every single team, I say look really good. They have confidence. They can wait to the spin training game start. They all look really good, man. And I think that's a really good sign, especially from the season that we came last year. Everyone wants to prove themselves, wants to prove everyone that we were a better team than we showed up last year, and that's going to happen this year for sure.
I guess one thing that's different this year, I mean, spring training normally is a time to meet a whole bunch of new teammates, but it's you know, largely the same group that's coming back, but you do have a couple of new faces. Have you been able to interact with any of your new teammates so far?
Well, it's only been, what, today's the third day?
Yeah.
And we're trying to get to know each other a little bit with the new guys, but we're going to have plenty of time to do it. We're going to have plenty of time to do it. It's just, you know, it's always the first week. It's a lot of going on. You have to do a lot of stuff. So by the time that you finish, your new teammates, they're already done. And, you know, with all the protocol, you can't have too much. But I'm pretty sure we're going to find some time to hang in out and start to get to know like new guys. But like you said, we have the same teammates, the same group from last year, so that was good.
Now, you are probably about the most fan-friendly guy on the team. It must have really hurt for you not to have people to interact with last year.
You got that right. You got that right. Yeah, for me, it was tough last year. That's why I have the little thing in left field through those teddy bears, so I can feel like they have some fans around that I can throw balls, you know, but this year is going to be different. You know, I'm excited about that, too. It's going to be a little different. We're going to have some fans spin trainer, which is I'm really excited about that. And you know, it's all about the fans. You know, that's what we're here for, because the fans. And I can't wait to game starts.
Well, and you're going into, I believe, year 8 now with the D-backs. You've been here since 2014 at the big league level. I think you're the longest tenured Diamondback, David. What does that mean to you?
That means a lot. It means a lot, especially for all I went through. I've always been thankful to the D-backs organization to give me the opportunity to spend all this time here. They just opened the door for me. They just, like, this is your house, and I'm really glad they take care of me and my family. And it means a lot to me and to my family to be part of the great organization.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to you before, and your story is a tremendous one to be at this level that you're at, with, you know, making so many changes in your career, switching from a pitcher to an outfielder. But did you ever think back in 2011 when you're playing independent league ball, you'd still be in the major leagues a decade later?
Well, it's hard to say, but that was my goal.
Yeah,
I always have it in my head. I want to be a big leaguer, but in that moment, I didn't want to put too much, you know, in my mind. It's just like, okay, just take day by day And one day it's going to happen if you keep working hard and being disciplined the way that I was doing it. So here I am right now talking to you guys about baseball and being in the D-backs.
Yeah, and I think along those lines, Mike Hazen has made it pretty clear that this organization has decided to stick with some of these veterans. I think you're one of them. And run this thing back and see if you can make the playoffs again. Is there a feeling of appreciation for that?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, we trust each other. I mean, like I'm going to say it again, we have a great team. We don't care what's the noise that all the teams are making, and we believe in our team. We trust our staff. We trust our players, and that's what we're going to do, man. We're going to do, and we're working hard, really hard, to make that happen, and it's going to happen.
David Peralta of the Arizona Diamondbacks, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Now, you've won a Silver Slugger Award in your career. You've won a Gold Glove Award in your career. Are you more proud of one or another?
No, both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them. Yeah, because it's and I remember I said it last year, 2019, when I won my Gold Glove. Now I got the full package to prove everyone that I can do both, you know. So, but I got some other goals that I want to reach to, so I'm just going to hop in now. You have to keep working hard to do it.
Are those goals that you're going to keep to yourself, or do you mind sharing some of those goals for 2021?
I want to be an all-star, and I want to put a ring in my finger, too, a championship, too.
Wow.
And I want to do it with the D-backs.
Very
cool. That's good. That's good. Now, have you been paying attention to the Phoenix Suns? Because they're getting close, too, David.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
David, thanks so
much
for joining us. Always good to talk to you. Have a good spring. Thanks. David Peralta
you,
of the Diamondbacks. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity, luxury cars, legendary service. Visit coulterinfinity.com. Coming up next, Suns have released their second half schedule, and it looks a bit like a bear. We'll go over some of it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
I heard pretty much every morning for like five straight years. I didn't miss it.
Yeah, you did.
But there is a theme to it. The band is Good Charlotte. Charlotte Hornets in town tonight.
They're not so good.
Yeah, I mean, if the Hornets were a band, they'd be like mediocre Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah, two games under 500 Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will they be the third straight 30-point blowout loss victim of the Phoenix Suns? That we will find out, and that is today's Song of the Day.
Bickley and Murata, your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia.
Jarrett, was that big on your college playlist?
No, not at all. I don't like that kind of music.
No?
I didn't know what song that was until I got to the chorus. Then I was like, oh yeah, I remember this song. But that's not my kind of music, really.
Gotcha. Today, on this day, February 24th in 1982, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, had three goals and two assists in a 6-3 win for the Oilers over
off
the Buffalo Sabres. Off night. During that, he eclipsed the single-season record in the NHL by scoring his 77th goal of the year. He'd go on to score 92 that season, a record that still stands. But whose record did he break? It had been established in 1971 with 76 goals. I didn't know this. I had to look this up.
Gilbert Perreault.
That's a good guess, but no.
Rocket Richard.
Incorrect. No, he was earlier.
He was earlier.
Yeah, he was like 40s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who?
Bobby Hull.
Bobby Hull had it at 58. And then he got his record broken by Phil Esposito.
Oh, wow. Sniper for the Boston Bruins. Brother Tony played goaltender for the Blackhawks.
Phil Esposito, Tony Esposito, Greg Esposito. That's all the Espositos.
That's all I know. That's all I got.
Yeah, Phil Esposito had the goal record, but it has stood since 1982. Wow. Nobody has eclipsed Wayne. And that. I don't think anybody's ever going to break it.
People barely get half of that. Literally half of that anymore.
I know. I mean, he had seasons of 200 points by himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at his assist totals. It was unbelievable the marks that man put on that sport.
The famous stat is he has more assists than any other player has points.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. When you consider guys like Jaromir Jagr, who played forever, and Gordie Howe played forever.
Mm-hmm.
The great one, Wayne Gretzky. Suns' second half schedule released today. We finally get what it looks like. So their last game of the first half of the season is that March 4th game against Golden State. Then it's the All-Star break. A week later, March 11th, they start out at Portland. But then they come home for a very manageable five-game homestand. Indiana, Memphis, back-to-backs against Minnesota, and they end it with the Lakers on March 21st. They have, I believe I counted, six games remaining against the three teams that right now are above them in the West, the Lakers, Clippers, and Utah. Actually, seven, because they haven't played the Lakers yet. They will play them before the first half expires. They've got a couple of long road trips. One in March at Miami, at Orlando, at Toronto in Tampa, and at Charlotte from the 23rd to the 28th. And then the one we talked about with Kellen Olsen, the Eastern road trip, which is a doozy. April 21st at Philly, the next night at Boston, then a couple of off days before they play at Brooklyn, the next night at New York. That's
April's not easy. That's a rough schedule for them. But
they'll earn their way into the playoffs this year if they get there.
Oh yeah, and
when they get
12
there.
Of their final 16 games on the road. That's not ideal. That stretch begins with that April 19th game at Milwaukee. The only home games they have from April 19th until May 16th when the regular season ends, they play the Clippers and Utah April 28th and 30th against the Knicks on May 7th and against Portland on May 13th.
Well, would that then mean that there's a stretch of home games prior to that?
Yeah, I mean, they have they do have a homestand in April versus Washington, versus Houston, versus Miami, versus Sacramento, versus San Antonio, right before that trip starts. So, I mean, overall it evens out, but the final 16 games are very road heavy.
Yeah, then the back-to-backs against Utah and the Clippers, those are going to be difficult tests. But you know what? It's not supposed to be easy.
Yeah, and if you want to play in that neighborhood, those are the teams you got to beat.
And you know what? Those teams right now are looking at their schedule and like, oh man, we got to play the Suns.
Yeah.
In April.
Normally they'd be looking, when do we get to play
the
Suns?
I know.
That's not the case anymore. You could check out the full schedule. It's available on arizonasports.com. You can check out the remaining schedule for the Suns, just released about an hour ago. Lots of talk still about the Devin Booker snub from the All-Star game. Chris Paul making the All-Star team for the Phoenix Suns in his first year in the purple and orange. He spoke to the media today after shoot-around on the Booker situation.
You know, at the end of the day, we control. You know what I mean? We talk about everything as a team. Me and Book have a really close relationship. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, we're worried about what we can control.
Yeah, and that's the only way they can handle it. I'm curious to hear the comments of Devin Booker tonight after the game. Obviously, whether the Suns win or lose will have some effect on the tone of those comments, but we heard them last year. We know what the situation was last year. I think it's going to be a similar situation this year. I think he's ideally going to get to the game.
But it never ends for Devin Booker. Just when you think that most of the Twitter arguments have been extinguished, there was an analytics nerd who tweeted out that Devin Booker, out of all the Western Conference All-Stars, is the worst of all the Western Conference All-Stars in every advanced analytic category. And there's a list of these categories. I couldn't even begin to tell you what they are. So if you are that deep into analytics, you're doing it wrong.
I would also argue that's probably not true.
Okay.
What?
I mean,
it's not. I mean, maybe the categories that he chose to make his argument. I mean, Kellen pointed out Zion is terrible on defense, so he's not worse at defense than Zion.
I mean, the stats that were pointed out by this guy, 53rd in player efficiency, PER, 79th in win shares, which I find hard to believe, by the way, 103rd in win shares by over 48 minutes, 90th in VORP. What is VORP?
What is VORP?
I think value over replacement. Okay. I mean, I don't even know.
103rd in box plus minus, 95th in RPM.
Look, I don't hate analytics as much as some people do, but at some point, don't we have to watch the games?
Yeah. And then Bomani Jones, who's considered, you know, an intellectual, quote, "I fully advocate enjoying fun players for what they are, and Booker is kind of one of those. Can fill it up, is cool to watch, but not really a game changer."
Doesn't watch the Suns that much, I'm sure. I think he's in a Twitter feud with one of those Espositos right now, too. I saw them going back and forth.
It's not Phil or Tony.
Who's to say?
Oh, that's funny.
I got a note from a friend. I forgot Mike Esposito, who sang "You're the Best Around" from the Karate Kid soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
How could I forget that?
You of all people.
Not an opportunity to give love to the Karate Kid, and I missed out on it. We had Jeff Van Gundy on the show today, too, and he talked about the snub, but he says bottom line is Devin Booker has still been tremendous.
This is not a referendum on Devin Booker, the player. Like, Devin Booker is a great player, and we should be honoring him more this year when they're winning than last year when they weren't winning. And I think sometimes we confuse stats for all players. The stats that matter are stats that lead directly to winning. And this year, with Chris Paul being there and Devin Booker playing at a great efficiency level and Monty Williams doing a terrific job and James Jones putting together a good team, they should all be getting their credit. I just feel badly for Booker that this notion of he's not an all-star is now overtaking what a good year they're having and what a good year he's having.
What did you make of Jeff Van Gundy's argument that he doesn't believe players on losing teams at the break should be involved in the All-Star
game? That's
pretty extreme.
Yeah.
But there are four guys on teams that are 500 or below.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you can be an all-star on a team that's around 500. I don't know.
Yeah.
For a hard, fast rule, I don't know.
Luka Doncic is an all-star, definitely, regardless of their record. But thanks to Jeff Van Gundy, thanks to Kellen Olson, and David Peralta for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow at 10. Burns and Gamble up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you.